Thank you very much for coming to this most auspicious event. Ratha Yatra is the day when the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes out of his temple onto the streets, searching for conditioned souls to give his mercy to. This festival is abundant with such incredible, inconceivable mercy of the Lord. The Lord comes out of his temple, literally, searching for the most fallen souls to cast his merciful glance upon them and awaken their original, pure Krishna consciousness. In this age of Kali Yuga, it is only causeless mercy that gives us hope. Kaler dosanide rajan astihi kumahan guna kirtanat eva krishnasya mukta sangha param rajait. Srimad Bhagavatam declares that Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. It is a time when people are practically, uncontrollably addicted to sensory activities. It is a time when there are so many cheating forms of religion promising you liberation but misleading you from the path of truth. We have short lives, very poor memories. Up until just a few decades ago, there was no such thing as a computer. Because since time immemorial, people could just hear once and totally process the information and never forget it within their hearts. In previous ages, people had built-in natural memory banks. But now we're practically bankrupt. Therefore, we have to use whatever little paltry intelligence we have to develop and invent so many artificial means of doing what is natural for us. That is the age of Kali. And it is explained in the holy scriptures that Kali Yuga began just after Lord Sri Krishna left this world, which was approximately 5,000 years ago. And it gets worse and worse as the years go by. So everyone is celebrating Y2K, the Millennium Festival of year 2000. But actually, the fact is, year 2000 means we are one more millennium deeper in to the bondage of Kali Yuga. Is this something to celebrate? Yes. Because the Yuga Avatar comes to bring the Yuga Dharma, which is the most simple and sublime means by which we can all achieve the perfection of liberation. Although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is one and only one benediction that simply chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can achieve the perfection of liberation. In previous ages, to even get a glimpse of love of God was so very difficult. Satya Yuga, 60,000 years enwrapped in meditation, celibacy, and total self-control in a secluded place. We cannot do it for 60 seconds. Treta Yuga, performance of great, great yajnas with absolute perfect pronunciation of every mantra and pristine execution of every ritual. Dwarpa Yuga, by worshipping the deity with rapt attention, without deviating for even a second from the regulative principles. But the same goal is achieved in Kali Yuga. To anyone or everyone, if they simply, sincerely accept the Yuga Dharma. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gathirandyatha. In this age of Kali, there's one method, the chanting of the holy names of Hari. But how to chant the names of Hari? The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally descends in this age of Kali to show by His own example and words how to perfect our lives. Krishna Varnam Tasa Krishnam Sango Pangasha Parasharam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Janti Hishuledasha. Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us that in the age of Kali, those who have good intelligence, they will worship Krishna, who appears in a beautiful golden form as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He comes with His associates. And how do we worship Him? Through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Navadvip, that is where He established the Sankirtan movement. Simple people from all castes, from all educational brackets, from all different income backgrounds, they all approached Him, asking for His mercy. And He gave them very simple instructions. You just take the name of Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your best friend. He's your only shelter. He's your life and soul. To love Krishna is the ultimate wealth that everyone is looking for. Krishna has appeared within His name. With your family members, come together every day and chant. If you have mridanga, karatals, harmonium, you play. If not, you just clap your hands. When you're sitting in your shop, when you're walking down the street, wherever you may be, whoever you may be with, just chant the holy names of Krishna. Because the name of Krishna has the power to purify your heart and awaken the lost love of God that is within. People are searching for happiness, but due to poor fund of knowledge, they do not know. The only real happiness is within our own hearts. If we gain fame, prestige, healthy, powerful body, or thousands, millions, or billions of dollars, we will never find real peace. Kali Yuga is the age where everyone is running through their senses to try to find happiness. But Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya taught us that that happiness is within you. It's like a treasure that is locked by a treasure chest. But the key to open that treasure chest, He is giving us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. From that day on, People all over Navadvip, everywhere you went, you heard the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And he personally demonstrated how to utilize every limb of our body to glorify the holy name by dancing. But he found that the simple people were accepting it. But many of the great scholars and many people who were proud of their high position of society were not hearing what he said. As predicted in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as the Mahabharata, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, personally accepted the renounced order of life just to gain the respect of those people so that he could instruct them in this simple process that the very simple, innocent, and poor people had already achieved the fulfillment of life by following. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he wanted to go to Vrindavan. But his beloved mother, Sachi Devi, and his very beloved devotees, they prayed, the same Krishna that is in Vrindavan is living in Purushottam Kshetra Puri in the form of Lord Jagannath with his brother Baladev and sister Subhadra. Please go there because it is very close to Navadvip. There we could visit you and we can hear of your transcendental lila. So Lord Chaitanya made his home in Jagannath Puri. There, every year, he personally celebrated Rath Yatra. Because Rath Yatra represents the very essence of his mission. To bring the mercy of the Lord to everyone without discrimination. He taught us how to celebrate Rath Yatra. By dancing and chanting the holy names. Because this is the means by which we can please Krishna in this age of Kali. Every year, his devotees, by the hundreds and hundreds, would walk long distance. It took weeks by foot just to come to celebrate Rath Yatra with Lord Chaitanya. I'm not going to speak very long because I know it's very late. But I would like to share with you a very, very essential instruction that Lord Chaitanya gave just after the Rath Yatra one year. Because by hearing this instruction, whoever we may be, we will understand how we can achieve the perfection of bhakti. The devotees would come and Lord Chaitanya would greet them. With tears of love in his eyes, he would embrace every devotee of the men and give his most merciful blessings to the ladies. They would celebrate various festivals, but especially they came to see Lord Chaitanya dance during the Rath Yatra. Because that dance was the most beautiful manifestation that has ever been witnessed in the history of earth. Lord Chaitanya is Sri Radharani, who has come to Krishna, who has come to taste the supreme ecstasy of the love of Radharani and to distribute that love to the world. When Lord Chaitanya danced and sang the holy names, it was simultaneously the expression of his infinite love, and he was also distributing that love simply by his dance. Anyone, the pilgrims, the residents of Puri, the simple servants, the king, Whoever saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy names, their hearts would immediately become filled with the eternal perfection of pure love of Krishna. At the end of one Rath Yatra, as he was saying goodbye to all of his devotees before they left, he gave special instruction to one family from the village of Srikanda. There was a Grihastha man of the name Mukunda. Mukunda was married with a wife and a child named Raghunandan. He had a very responsible post in society. He was the physician for the king. But he was not just an ordinary Grihastha. This Lord Chaitanya will reveal. He instructed Mukunda that you should earn both material and spiritual wealth. That is your duty. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained the glories of Mukunda. One day, the king called him to get medical advice. The king was sitting on a very high raised platform, and he had his servants around him. As he was giving the king this medical advice, the sun came out of the clouds. It was very hot. One of the servants of the king brought a peacock tail fan to shade the king from the sun. When Mukunda saw the peacock feathers, immediately he remembered Lord Sri Krishna. And he was such a deep lover of Krishna that just by seeing the peacock feathers, he swooned in ecstatic love. He began to cry, to tremble. He fell unconscious and fell way, way, way down off the raised platform onto the ground. The king was very much disturbed. He personally came off of his throne and came to the ground and said, "Mukunda, Mukunda, are you all right?" He said, "Yes, I am all right." "What happened?" One of the qualities of a devotee is they are very humble. They do not say, "I have love of God." Rather, great devotees, they claim, "I have no love of God." How is that? Because the ocean of love of God is so deep and so great that the more you have, the more you realize how insignificant you are. And the more insignificant you realize you are, the more you taste the nectar of the highest perfection of transcendental ecstasy. Mukunda, the king, asked, "What happened?" He said, "Actually, my dear king, I have something like epilepsy. And sometimes I faint like this, but I'm all right." But the king, he was a very intelligent man. He understood it's because he's a pure devotee of Krishna that he fell in ecstasy. He said, "Mukunda, please go home. You will get full salary." He possessed the highest wealth because he was constantly chanting the names of the Lord, serving the devotees, worshipping his deity at home. Although he was Grihastha, performing his profession perfectly. It is the duty of a Grihastha. You must earn material wealth. Otherwise, how will you maintain your family? But he told him, and he told every Grihastha through him, you should also concentrate your attention on earning spiritual wealth by serving serving the Lord and His devotees, living a pure life, and with strict regulation in your home, hearing the holy scriptures and chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. If we do these simple things and associate with the Lord's devotees, it is guaranteed. In the impersonalistic schools, the actual appropriate instruction that was given is you cannot even begin the process of self-realization until you take sannyas. This is the hard and fast rule of Sripad Shankaracharya. But the path of bhakti is crying out for the mercy of the Lord. A grihastha with wife, husband, children, occupation can achieve perfection by simply following these principles of Lord Chaitanya. And Mukunda Sarakar was the example of this. He had a son named Raghunandan. Lord Chaitanya instructed him, you should worship the deity. This was his nature. When Raghunandan was a very small boy, his father, Mukunda, he had to go for some duty of the king. So he told little Raghunandan, I will not be here to do the puja for our Gopinath deity. You should make the Rajbhog offering today. Raghunandan said, but I don't know these Rajbhog offerings. I'm a child. How will I worship the deity? He said, no, you are sincere. You just put the plate of bhoga, of food in front of the deity, and you just ask the deity, please accept this. And then you take the plate off, and it will be prasad. So little Raghunandan was given the plate by his mother. He brought it on the altar of Thakurji Gopinath. And he said, Gopinathji, please accept this offering. Now you know, the deity is transcendental. Every limb of the body of Krishna can perform the acts of every other limb. If you want to eat, you need a mouth to eat. But Krishna, simply by glancing upon the food, can eat it. But Krishna doesn't need grains or fruits or milk. He's self-satisfied. What he longs to taste is our devotion. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna says, you offer me even a little fruit, flower, water, or a leaf. If it is offered with devotion, I will accept it. Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotee. Little Raghunandan, he didn't know all the ritualistic mantras. He didn't know the mudras. But he had devotion. He wanted to please Krishna. He said, Krishna, Gopinath, please accept this. Gopinath accepted it. But the food was still there. So Raghunandan, he began to pray with such sincerity, please, I'm so fallen, I'm so sinful, I'm so useless, you're not accepting my offering. Please accept it. It is my father's order that I offer it to you. Gopinath accepted it. He glanced upon it. He took the devotion. It was Mahaprasad. So Raghunandan was crying. He was weeping. Gopinath, the deity, he spoke to little Raghunandan. He said, "Why are you crying?" "Because you have not accepted my offering." "I did accept your offering, but the food is still there." I took your offering through my glance. Now it's prasad. You eat it, you enjoy it." Raghunandan, he replied, "I'm just a child. I don't know all this glance philosophy. I offered you the food and the food's still here. Please accept it." He cried again. Gopinath, right in front of Raghunandan, just to please his innocent, pure heart, he ate every morsel of the food with his hand by putting it in his mouth. Now you may think, how is it possible that a stone deity can eat? But we understand through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra that when the deity is properly installed by the Lord's dear devotee, that Krishna enters into that form. And he reveals himself according to your heart's devotion. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, "Do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you." Throughout our Gaudiya Vaishnava history, we find personal loving exchanges between the deity and the devotee. When we come to that stage of love, we don't see stone. We see the deity for who he is, the original Satchit Ananda Vigraha, the eternal form of God. He can dance for us. He can play his flute for us. He can smile upon us. He can speak to us. Raghunandan was very satisfied. He took the plate off the altar. His mother saw, empty plate. She asked, "Raghunandanji, my son, where is all the prasad?" He said, "Gopinath ate it." "What is the surprise? I was told to give it to him, and I gave it to him, and he ate it." So when Mukunda Sarakar returned, his wife told him that, "I don't know what happened, but there's no prasad for you, or me, or Raghunandan, or anyone. Do you think Raghunandan ate it right on the altar? I was waiting at the door. When it came off, there was nothing on the plate." Mukunda asked, "What happened?" He said, "I offered it." "Huh? Then he didn't eat it." "Huh? Then I cried. And I begged, please, Gopinath, eat, eat, eat." And Gopinath asked, "Oh, you want me to eat?" And he ate. Now Mukunda Sarakar, he understood the inconceivable love of the Lord for his devotee. He gave Raghunandan a laddu. He said, "Offer this." Raghunandan went on altar with laddu. But Mukunda Sarakar was hiding behind the window curtain to see what's going to happen. Raghunandan offered his prayers, "Please, my Lord, accept my offering." Again, Krishna glanced. It was Mahaprasad. But little Raghunandan didn't understand. He started to cry. "I'm so fallen. I'm so nothing that you're not willing to accept again." So Gopinath said, "All right." And he ate the laddu, half of it. He ate half of it. So the other half would be testimony to his mercy to his devotee. And in a temple in Bengal, the other half of the laddu is still there. Hare Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Raghunandan that you will attain perfection of life by following this instruction. Worship the deity with great love and devotion. Then he turned to Mukunda Sarakar's brother, whose name was Narahari. He told Narahari, you should stay with me and you should preach Krishna consciousness to the fallen souls. Narahari was such a preacher. He was such an ocean of compassion. He was the type of person that was willing to sacrifice his life and all of the conveniences of life to help one person to come closer to Krishna. Because of his compassion, he conquered the heart of the Supreme Lord. It is said Lord Chaitanya was in the role of a devotee. And he knew that in Kali Yuga, so many people with a little knowledge or a little yogic powers, they claim to be God. And they claim that other people can become God. But God is God. He is the supreme absolute truth. And all living beings are his eternal fragmental parts, whose constitutional position is to be his servant. So when anyone dared to approach the Lord by calling upon him as Krishna or the Supreme Lord or Narayan, he would hold his ears and cry out, Vishnu, 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 save me from this contamination. In this world, everyone is falsely trying to become a god. God is the supreme enjoyer. Anyone who's trying to enjoy the resources of this world is trying to imitate God. Therefore, because of this artificial conception, everyone is suffering the repetition of birth and death. The real path of liberation is to understand I am eternally the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. And to awaken that natural condition of consciousness by which we can serve with pure love. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not allow anyone to address him as God. But because Narahari Sarakar was such a loving preacher, he was such a servant of every living entity. The greatest service is to give in charity. But what is the greatest charity? There is charity for the body, food, clothing, some residential facility. There's charity for the distressed, poverty-stricken mind by encouraging words, by consolation, by kindness and friendliness, and tenderness. But the body and mind are only temporary coverings over the spirit soul. The spirit soul is the true self. The soul is eternal. And charity to the soul is giving knowledge of Krishna. Teaching a person how to receive the mercy and blessings of Krishna. In Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, the ultimate charity you can give to another is to inspire that person to perfect their life by chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. And Krishna says in Gita that one who gives this mercy to others is most dear to me, and there is no one more dear to me than him. Narahari, because he was such a preacher, he conquered the Lord's heart so much that he and practically he alone, right in Lord Chaitanya's presence, he would compose and sing beautiful kirtans in perfect poetry, all exclaiming Lord Chaitanya to be the Supreme Lord. How he's Krishna himself, tasting the nectar of Radharani's love. How he's the most merciful Lord Narayan who has descended to this world to give what no other incarnation has ever given, pure love of Krishna to everyone. He would sing these songs, and Lord Chaitanya would not hold his ears. He would listen with great pleasure. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada explains, these are the three functions that is assigned to people according to their nature. And by acting accordingly, everyone can attain the perfection of liberation. By either being a grihastha and earning material and spiritual wealth, by worshipping the deity, or by preaching the message of the Lord. His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, our beloved Guru Maharaj and the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he dedicated his life. He followed all three. When he was just a little boy, living in the streets, living in Calcutta, he would watch his parents worship the deity of Radha Govinda. And he would hear about this Jagannath Rath Yatra. And when he was hardly 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, every year he would have an annual Rath Yatra. He would be the manager, the organizer, the kirtan leader, the pujari. And he would get little deities that his parents would bring him of Jagannath, Balaram, Subhadra. He and his little sister would make a nice cart. They'd go to different shops and beg for bhoga, and beg some carpenters to help make the cart very nicely. And then he would take it into the streets, and he would induce everyone to chant, to dance, and he would distribute prasad. Later on, he became grihastha. When he was grihastha, after he met his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he dedicated his life to earning spiritual wealth and giving it to others in charity. In fact, Bombay, Lord Chaitanya came to Bombay 500 years ago approximately. He chanted and danced in the streets here. But due to the influence of Kali Yuga, that effect was forgotten. But Srila Prabhupada came here to earn material wealth for his family. But he would never be satisfied with only that, because the human life is plundered and wasted unless we are doing it for Krishna. So while he was here doing his business, he found some of his godbrothers, sannyasis, who had come to Bombay. He was the one who was sponsoring all of their preaching. Through his contacts, he was arranging programs for them. After organizing the programs, he would lead the kirtan, One of his god brothers would preach. Another god brother would try to explain how we're trying to build a temple. It was Srila Prabhupada who was so instrumental, even as a grihastha, to raise the funds, to offer the charity, to use his contacts, to use all of his energies to begin the first temple of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the history of Bombay, Gaudiya Math. And the sannyasis, when they called, and Prabhupada, they called Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to the city to install the deities. After the installation, they said, "This Abhay Charan, he's so expert. He should be the president of the temple." But that means giving up all of his household affairs. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, "Let him do what he is doing now. In due course of time, he will do everything." Prabhupada was perfect grihastha, earning material and spiritual wealth. But his guru's, Maharaja's mission was burning in his heart, that the world is suffering. He saw in India, people are so much being influenced by the atheistic and materialistic conceptions of the Western world. They've lost faith in their own spiritual heritage. The philosophy, the culture of Sanatan Dharma has simply become empty rituals in most people's lives. At Radha Gopinath Temple, we had a 5-day celebration of Hari Katha and Hari Kirtan for the new year. So someone complained. "What is this new year 2000? We are Hindus. We reject this Western conception of new year. We accept Diwali as the new year." Hare Krishna. "We also accept Diwali as new year. We also accept some people as Krishna's birth date is the new year." Recently, one great acharya said, "We don't accept this. We accept Krishna's birth date as the new year." Others accept Lord Chaitanya's birth date as new year. But that acharya, he explained, "We'll have to do research to find out what year it is by Krishna's birthday. And as far as Diwali, what year? And how much does it affect your life? Everyone knows that today is January 4th, year 2000. Your business is run by it. Your family is run by it. Everything. This is an example how India and the world is just completely inundated by Western culture." So Srila Prabhupada was thinking that if the people of India see that the people of the West honor and respect their spiritual culture, then they will think that it has some value. So much politics, so much business, and whatever religion is practically ritualistic without real philosophy. So Prabhupada came to Bombay after he took sannyas. He started preaching in Bombay after living in Vrindavan for 6 years, translating the Vedic literatures in the English language. It was from Bombay that he received that free, complimentary cargo ship ticket from the Scindia steamship lines, Sumati Murarji, who we are so grateful to. He went to the West, no money. From India, he went with one possession only, his faith in the holy name of Krishna, and his burning compassion to give in charity to the poorest nations of the world spiritually. How many people from India send their children to Europe or America to get money, to take and bring it back? Srila Prabhupada went to give. He didn't want anything from them. He went to beg them to accept the supreme wealth. When he saw the wealth of America, he cried. People are so addicted to these superficial articles of so-called enjoyment, perpetually under the misconception that they're this body. He saw the young generation becoming hippies, wealthy people, frustrated, totally frustrated. The highest rate of suicide in the world is the upper income bracket of America and Europe. And the people who are most mentally deranged, who need sleeping pills to sleep at night, who go to psychiatrists and psychologists, are the people with all the money, because they're frustrated. All Prabhupada had was a box of books and a little bag of cereal. And he was in New York City, the wealthiest city in the planet Earth, to give wealth, to give Krishna through his holy name. He was living alone in the Bowery, the ghetto of New York, the most important street in the most important city in material civilization is Fifth Avenue of New York. In 1965, he was alone with no one to help him and not even a penny to his name. He cried for people in India to help, but they all said, "It's a waste of time, it's useless, you'll never succeed, come back." But he had a dream that someday Fifth Avenue will be the place where Jagannath, Subhadra, and Baladev will take their Ratha Yatra procession, and hundreds and thousands of people will get their mercy. Is it possible? In New York, there's so much gambling going on. If any of those, what do they call, bookkeepers of gambling, if any of them were to make odds that this little 70-year-old sadhu living in utter poverty, he brought a tape recorder, it was stolen, a typewriter, it was stolen. He was just going from one place to another trying to find someone to just let him stay to start his mission. What are the odds that such a person would have the whole Fifth Avenue closed for a whole day to have tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people chanting with police escort as Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra go on their carts to Washington Square Park? They would say, impossible. 100 billion trillion quadrillion to one that if he could ever do it. But in 1976, after Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world preaching the message of Sanatana Dharma 13 times, circled the world, opening over 100 centers, translating Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ishopanishad, Upadeshamrita, and so many other literatures. In fact, in the history of the world, Srila Prabhupada had inspired more Vedic literatures to be distributed to more people in more language than ever before. He started with nothing. And then came that historical day in 1976 when that little beggar from the Bowery, as people saw him, when he came, and there were three massive, illustrious carts built according to the same design as Jagannath Puri. There was Balaram's cart, Subhadra's cart, and Jagannath's cart. And there were thousands and thousands of effulgent devotees from all over the world. And millions of people from New York were shocked to see this spectacle that has never been seen before. The New York police closed the street of Fifth Avenue. And Prabhupada personally boarded upon Subhadra's cart, Vinayasa-san. And hundreds of devotees pulled these carts. And throughout Manhattan Island, the tumultuous sound of the chanting of the holy name was heard by all. Devotees knew this was Prabhupada's dream. How they were weeping and in joy as Prabhupada was riding on this cart at the lotus feet of Subhadra, looking down at New York City, casting his merciful glance upon all. Tens and thousands got prasad. Thousands got books. Millions heard the holy name as the cart entered into Washington Square Park. Raghunandan perfected his life through deity worship. Mukunda Sarakar, by being a grihastha earning material and spiritual wealth. And Narahari, by preaching the message of the holy name without discrimination to all. Srila Prabhupada perfectly exhibited all three of these principles in his life. Mahajano yena gatasa bandha. The path of truth is understood only by following in the footsteps of the great souls. San Francisco, London, Paris, Chicago, Philadelphia, Melbourne, Sydney, Rome, Nairobi, Lagos, all over the world are ratha-yatras going on. But how much Srila Prabhupada must be smiling with great love and pleasure to see in his very, very dear city of Bombay. People from all over the world have come to celebrate Rath Yatra. After Srila Prabhupada started the Krishna Consciousness Movement, he spent more time in Bombay than any other city in the world, because he considered the people of Bombay and the city of Bombay to be the most important. Prabhupada said, people of the West, they are this far from Krishna, and we're somehow or other trying to bring them to the lotus feet of the Lord. People of India are this far from Krishna, but they're running the opposite way, full speed. Now you have your Star TV and Z TV and all other kinds of TVs. And you have rock and roll. And you have American Dress. Running away from Krishna. But Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya talked Yukta Vairagya. You could use even the technologies in Krishna's service, but you have to understand what is the goal of life and how to pursue it. Srila Prabhupada had such dear and intimate love for the people of Bombay. His first major preaching program was at Cross Maidan in 1971, when 30,000 people came to hear him speak for 2 weeks. He built his most beautiful, beautiful temple with money from all over the world. Radha Ras Bihari Temple in Juhu. Because he wanted the people of Bombay to have the best temple in the world. And he personally spent so much time here. As a devotee, it's a very common thing, even 23 years after Srila Prabhupada disappeared from this world, we meet people who said, oh, I know Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada came to my home. Srila Prabhupada blessed me when I was a baby. People show me photos of Prabhupada blessing when they're little children. Older people, they assisted Prabhupada in so many ways. He touched tens and thousands of people personally here in Bombay, because he considered it so important for the whole of India and for the whole of the world that this city appreciates the real wealth of Krishna consciousness. So tonight, we are celebrating Jagannath's Rath Yatra. It is such a special event that with our tiny human brains, we can never really understand or appreciate the significance. But we can try. One great acharya said that just like a bird tries to fly to the top of the sky, how close does a little bird get to the top of the sky? There is no top to the sky. But it is his duty to just go as far as he could go. Similarly, how can we explain the unlimited glories of the Lord? How can we appreciate the unlimited mercy that comes through his pure devotees? But we can try. And if we honestly and sincerely try, Krishna will reciprocate. As His Holiness Srila Lokanath Maharaj said, You take one step toward Krishna, he will take innumerable steps toward you. Just by a little bit of desire, one or two steps we have taken in our lives, and Krishna has descended from the spiritual world through his name, through his deity, to give us his mercy and his love. Please, take this wonderful opportunity of life as the most serious aspect of your existence. If you're raising a family, raise your family centering around devotion to Krishna. If you have an occupation, center it around devotion to Krishna. You will not be the loser. In our congregation of our temple, we have so many students who are chanting 16 malas of the holy name every day, who are studying Srila Prabhupada's books every day, who are associating with devotees regularly. And yet, some of them are the top students in their colleges, top of their class in IIT, top of their class in various medical colleges of Bombay. And yet people say that if you take to spiritual life, you will be materially insufficient. Arjuna took to spiritual life, and who was a greater warrior than him? If you're motivated by love rather than greed and prestige, you will have that much more power. If you have the mercy of God behind you, there's nothing that is impossible. Do not fear. You will not lose. You will gain reality of our eternal nature. We will gain love for Krishna. Share that with those you love. That is love. Srila Prabhupada has done so much. Let us reciprocate. Please buy some of his books and read them daily. Lokanath Maharaj was saying yesterday that Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita as it is. So sometimes he talks to people and he says, "You have Bhagavad Gita? Yes. Have you read it? Or do you leave it as it is?" We should read. And we should associate with people who will inspire us in devotion. We should develop a mood of service. In service, we find happiness. In exploiting, we simply complicate our minds with bondage. And cleanse your heart by chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Thank you very much.